Thy strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Hallelujah.
Grace and peace to you, God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like last week's parable of the farmer and the different types of soils that we covered in last week's gospel reading, today's parable is also an agricultural parable. Now, as I addressed earlier to you this morning and last week, we need to keep in mind that parables, they take two different things or stories and they lay them side by side to make a comparison. To make a comparison and to teach a main point. Thus, a parable, it helps the listener understand unfamiliar spiritual truths by using everyday objects and everyday illustrations. Yes, this parable that we read earlier in the gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew is another story dealing with seeds being planted in soil. However, unlike last week, today's parable entails two different farmers with two different types of seeds and with two exactly different agendas. The farmer who owns the field and is the master of the land, he goes out and he plants good seeds. Those seeds are wheat. During the evening, though, an enemy comes to the same field and he plants weeds into the midst of these good seeds. These weeds are most certainly not wheat, but look very much like wheat. They are actually what is called darnel. The problem with darnel, though, is that it initially grows just like wheat, thus it is deceiving in the way that it looks. Only a very skillful farmer can immediately discern the difference between the two. Furthermore, the great problem is that darnel is absolutely, yes, it is absolutely worthless, for it is a grass-like undergrowth. This scheme of planting weeds among wheat is a long-range plan of evil hatred. It is secret, it is cowardly, it is dishonorable, it is cruel, and an extreme expression of hatred. These unfruitful seeds are planted and grow like wheat, that is, until later on in the farming year, in which it becomes evident that these seeds planted by the enemy are not wheat, but nasty weeds. At this point of realization, it is too late to uproot them, for if one were to uproot these weeds, it would harm the wheat. Jesus explains in this parable by saying that the field is the world, the farmer who plants the wheat is himself, and the devil, the enemy farmer, is the one that plants the weeds. As mentioned before, this evil one is indeed cruel, cowardly, dishonorable, and an extreme enemy who plants weeds at night. Does this not accurately fit the sneaky and unpleasant and conniving tactics of the evil one? It also makes sense that Jesus would be the master farmer who sows seeds that yield fruitful wheat. As a result of the actions of the enemy, this field, which is the world we live in, is full of wheat, and it is also full of darnel. Indeed, the weeds are those who have rejected the kingdom of God. The weeds represent those that are in opposition to God's grace and are antagonistic to Christ, whereas the wheat are those who receive the gospel, those who are at rest in the forgiveness of sins accomplished by Jesus and given through the word and the sacrament. Indeed, as we look to this field, this world, we see believers in Christ, wheat, mingled and dispersed in the midst of this field with darnel, those who are antagonistic, those who are unbelievers in Jesus. Up to this point, this parable, it seems to make sense. The pieces seem to fit together quite nicely. However, there is a bit of scandal in this parable, something that seems to go against our common sense way of thinking. Otherwise stated, what we may find puzzling in today's parable is that Jesus, the good farmer, does not immediately fight and uproot the weeds. In fact, the farmer, these servants of the farmer want to uproot the weeds, and logically so, it makes sense. I imagine their reaction to the weeds being something like this: good farmer, we're sorry for the evil that the enemy did to you. Do you want us to go and pull the weeds and make things right? We are willing to take on the weeds, for we surely don't want the enemy to get his way. We want to address this most certain tragedy. Thus, please give us the go-ahead, and we will certainly uproot this darnel. Certainly the comments of the servants, they do make a lot of sense to us as Christians, and they make a lot of sense according to the rules of common sense. Who would not want to uproot this weed, these seeds that were planted in the field? Yes, when we look around in our world, what we see is a messy garden, my friends, of both good and bad. As a consequence, we want a cleaner garden. We desire more wheat and we desire less darnel. We desire to return to the Garden of Eden where things were right, good, and true. Thus, as it is most understandable, these desires, they drive us to the temptation to go after weeds, to take things into our own hands. We want to rush in and make changes to the field. We want to purify things and make improvements around us. A little roundup over there and some deep tilling over here to make things right, to clean up the field. Indeed, we are rightly repulsed by the weeds of life. However, we unfortunately err when we attempt to take the place of the Creator and do what only He can do. Yes, the good farmer in this parable, as we read just recently, forbids the uprooting request from his servants. The servants are most emphatically not to try to change the situation. That would be dangerously premature, and it is not, I repeat, it is not their calling. Indeed, the reason the farmer of the land forbids them to pull up the weeds is because of the wheat. The servants thought they could help the wheat by uprooting the weeds, but the farmer maintained that they would also uproot the wheat when they uprooted the weeds. Otherwise stated, our attempts to go after the weeds can have deadly effects in our well-intentioned desire to weed out and make the garden, that is this world, more appealing and more pure. We can end up plucking out Christ Jesus, His word, and His sacraments. Truly, in an effort to remove the weeds of the world, what can end up happening is that the word and the sacraments get plucked out of the church and out of God's people too. The good seed and the roots of the wheat are many times dispersed so much that the uprooting weeds will also uproot the good seed. Dear saints, to be brutally honest, there's another reason why it is not our calling to uproot the weeds of the world, and that is that we can become so focused on trying to root out the weeds of the world that we fail to realize the weeds of our own flesh. Yes, the weeds of our own sinful nature. We can become so distracted with the weeds of the world that we fail to realize and recognize the very weeds that are planted right in our own lives and within our own church. Yes, because we have this sinful nature, until the day that we die, we too have darnel weeds in our lives and within the church. Keep in mind that you and I, though, we do not have the power to uproot our own sin, for that is the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word, and therefore, if we do not have the ability to uproot this sin, or even to pay for our own sin, what makes us think that we can successfully uproot the weeds of the world? Frankly put, the part of us that acts like darnel weeds, our sinful flesh, should terrify us a whole lot more than the weeds of the world. Not only are we powerless to uproot our own sin and the sins of the world, who today can properly distinguish between unbelievers who will remain unbelievers and unbelievers who will one day believe the word and become wheat? Out of love for the wheat, Jesus forbids us to cut short anyone's time of grace. Surely the servants, they were to leave the situation precisely as it was and to let the two kinds of plants grow together until the harvest. At that time, though, the master will tell someone else to collect the weeds out from the wheat. Then the weeds will be bundled together and burned, while the wheat will be stored in the granary. So, my friends, if we do not have the ability or the calling or the wisdom to uproot the weeds of the world, you may find yourself asking, as I did myself, what are we to do? This, my friends, is the wrong question. For the parable does not lead us to a demand of what we must do. Rather, this parable that we read earlier leads us to the conclusion that good seeds planted in the midst of the world will be sustained to the end of the age. In other words, my friends, relax. Relax. God is in control. The Lord is the dominant gardener. He is the chief farmer. He is the master of the field. Rest and let him work, for he is in complete control and has planted good seeds before in weeds. Yes, God not only planted a good seed when you were baptized, but he planted another seed long before you. You see, when Jesus Christ was born into this world, it was as if God planted a good seed into the midst of a weedy, yes, a weedy world. Jesus was the fullness of God in flesh. He was perfectly good. He came into a world that was full of weeds, and he planted himself right into the midst of the weeds. As a farmer become good seed, he, Jesus, he grew, he taught, he loved. Jesus is the good seed was sprinkled everywhere, and he was planted into people's hearts by faith. But all of this was not the ultimate planting of the Son of Man. Pushing this even farther, Jesus was planted deeply into the soil of sin when he was nailed to a cross, bearing the sin of humanity upon himself as if it was his own. Even after his crucifixion on our behalf, he was literally planted like a seed in the soil. He was crucified, he was dead, and he was buried. Yes, at the cross, Jesus, the sower, becomes seed. The wheat of our wheat was made to be a weed in our place. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, and Jesus was treated as a weed when God forsook him on the cross. Yes, Christ, he suffered hell, our hell. He too, in a sense, was gathered and burned in the fire. God spared not his own son, even this. The good seed was planted into the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Then this good seed burst forth, fully bloomed, fully alive, fully healthy, and fully powerful. This crucified and resurrected good seed is the seed that is given to many, the good seed given to you and to me for the forgiveness of our sins. Baptized saints, God has worked in the midst of weeds. He is working in the midst of weeds, and he will continue to. Let him work. Trust him, for he is good and he knows what he is doing. Know that as you continually receive the word and sacraments, that the Lord is weeding out and burning the darnel of your sinful flesh, as well as continually planting the good seed of the gospel into each and every one of you, the gospel seed that you receive by faith. Baptized saints, the Lord is at work. His life-giving word is constantly being sown. People are being nourished, fed, evangelized. He is indeed the Lord of the harvest. Baptized saints, know that the weeds of the world don't and won't last forever. Evil, yes, evil, indeed has an end. For Jesus has promised that the weeds will be gathered and burned with fire. baptized saints, remember that Jesus will build his church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. It is his church. The gospel will not, and I repeat, it will not and cannot be snuffed out. Baptized saints, confess with confidence today and to the close of the age the truth that Jesus lives forever, that he is Lord, and that you have been rooted and built up in him, for the good seed of the gospel has claimed, yes, it has claimed you. You are washed. You are fed. And you are deeply embedded in Christ. The peace of God which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Night and deep as death broke the light.